Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road on the 28th of May. We will be back down at Fadley's. I'm looking forward to that. Actually, I'm going to be at Fadley's on Thursday afternoon for the Crab Derby. I'm the MC, so I got to save my voice in this particular segment. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Back to the Future Scratch Offs. We will have these with us on the 28th at Fadley's. And then we're going back up to, and I'm looking forward to this. I've already started booking guests. If you know anybody in Carroll County, Hampstead, we're going to be back up at Greenmount Station on the, it's the 5th of June. I said the 7th. I screwed that up. It's the 5th of June. We're going to be there. Luke Jones joins us now. We wait all year for the schedule. And because I have friends in Western New York, and we were very concerned about the Buffalo thing, and we're putting some things together with the Bills Mafia, and you're going to have a press pass, and I'm going to be doing WWF whoppers off the top of a bus on the tables. We'll do some backyard wrestling. And by the way, last chance to see Rich Stadium before they rip it down. Luke's here with all things NFL schedule 2025. Luke, tell us what you know.
The schedule's out, right? I mean, we've known these opponents for months, and most of these opponents we've known for years, but we finally get the schedule. And look, for all the pomp and circumstance and the way that the league drags this thing out and breadcrumbs it out multiple days now, it is nice to get the schedule, to get that context, to know they're going to open the season in Buffalo. I mean, second straight year, the Ravens are going to play the team that ended their season the previous January. So plenty of intrigue there. Sunday night football. If we're going to Buffalo, I'd much rather go in early September than December. So that's nice. But, you know, I mean, I think my big takeaways from this schedule are the way that it begins and the way that it ends. I mean, you look at the schedule at the beginning, five of the first six games are against teams that made the playoffs last year. So you're hoping they get off to a better start than they did last year, understanding what that meant in terms of them playing in Buffalo rather than playing in Baltimore in January last season. And I think you look at how the season ends, where even though we don't know the dates, this team's going to finish three of their last four games on the road. And those three games are against Cincinnati, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh. So I think, you know, the schedule itself, I don't think there's anything unreasonable about it, but certainly it begins and ends in challenging fashion. And as I noted at BaltimorePositive.com, as I kind of just gave my thumbnail early impression on each game. I mean, nothing that's that deep. You know, I think it's interesting to think about the possibility of Joe Flacco starting a game in Baltimore as the opponent for the first time come week two, assuming he's probably the favorite to be the Browns quarterback, at least to start the year. But, you know, I look at that week 18 game in Pittsburgh. It's the first time since 2002 that they finished the regular season in Pittsburgh. So as late as they played a game there since what, Christmas of 2016 is probably the latest game they played there, you know, in recent years. All my thinking on that, and I don't have terribly high expectations for the Steelers this year. I mean, maybe Aaron Rodgers will have decided by then or not whether he's going to play for them, but you better have your playoff path decided, because you don't want to be leaving a week 18 weird Ravens Steelers, who the heck knows what could happen kind of scenario up in the air for that trip out to Western Pennsylvania. But hey, you know, the schedule's pretty challenging. It's a first place schedule, all those different talking points we can talk about, but who knows? You know, right now you say, oh, you start the year off the challenging trip to Buffalo. Josh Allen sprains his ankle in mid-August and is out the first two games of the season, then that's the perfect time to play Buffalo. So you don't really know ultimately with any of these games, but it is nice to know. And now the countdown's on for the Ravens to be playing in Orchard Park come week one for Sunday night football, which, hey, it's always good to be in the national spotlight.
Well, you're a marquee team and you get a marquee game in a marquee way to kick off the season on the road. You know, I remember that turd they laid out in Denver a decade ago. You know, I was there for that one, a mile high, suffering for oxygen at 5,200 feet. I would say that you wake up Monday morning in your 0-1 and Buffalo's 1-0. That's tough. And they had kind of a tough start last year, you know, overcame it at that point. But I looked at the schedule and all I saw was a bunch of road games late. You know what I mean? That's what I saw. I saw You better be ahead of the horse here if you're going to play 4 out of 5 on the road to end the season.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. I think you look at that, and again, I mean, it's challenging opponents. I mean, going to Green Bay in week 17, whether it ends up being a Saturday game or a Sunday, I mean, it's one of those TBD situations where they could be playing a Saturday night game in Green Bay on December 27th. I don't need to tell you what the weather could be like at that point in time.
It will not be
So,
balmy.
no,
No.
you wouldn't expect so. And I mentioned Pittsburgh. I mean, I mentioned Cincinnati in mid-December. You know, they do get the Patriots in that stretch, which I'll even say this. Look, I think the Patriots, their talent deficiencies are obvious. But I will say that's a team that I think is interesting from the standpoint of first-year head coach and Mike Vrabel. If there was something you would say about their teams in Tennessee, they played hard for them. And a lot of people slept on Drake May last year. I think for all the challenges that that offense had around him, I think Drake May played pretty well. So that's a team that I would rather be playing in September than December. Not that I'm not at all suggesting the Patriots, I think, are going to be a playoff team or anything like that. But if you're in a scenario where you're overlooking them and you're looking ahead to the last two games, you know, you could find yourself in a little more of a dogfight than you think for that game. But obviously playing on the road that much to finish the year, it's definitely a challenge. But hey, there are also the perks to their schedule as well. I mean, I thought this, I mean, obviously, and we've kind of buried the lead part of the lead here a little bit in not mentioning Baltimore hosting a Thanksgiving night game. I'll take that over a Christmas afternoon game any day. So glad about that at least. But how about the fact, for as much as every team thinks the NFL hates them and is out to get them from a scheduling standpoint, Nestor, this is going to be the third straight year the Cincinnati Bengals come into Baltimore for a Thursday night game. If that was flipped, Ravens fans would be apoplectic about playing your biggest division rival on a short week 3 years in a row like that. So, hey, just remember that the next time there's something about the schedule you don't like as far as for the
Well, there was
Ravens.
those
I mean,
spate of years where we played in Pittsburgh in prime time every year, and they
yeah,
always played at 1 o'clock
exactly.
here or
Right.
something like
And
that, right?
again, I don't, and I don't, I'm not suggesting the league's out to get the Bengals
And by
either.
the way,
Let's
the
be
teams
clear. It's
hate
just,
Monday Night Football games and stuff. They make a lot less money. People come, like they would rather. I think all the teams would rather play at 1 o'clock on Sunday. That would be everybody in the league's preference from a football perspective.
oh, no question. And that's where I kind of look at the schedule. It's funny you mentioned that. I think if you're, you know, if you kind of have that old guy mentality, if you're going to the games, you like the 1 o'clock starts, right? Look at the Ravens schedule right now as far as their home games. Cleveland, week 2, 1 o'clock. You know, they do have the Monday night game against Detroit in week 3, a rare Monday night home game. But week 5, home, 1 o'clock. Week 6, home, 1 o'clock. Go down the list. I mean, it's just about all 1 o'clock starts, other than just those two primetime games. Now, we know the league flexes the schedule, and I'm guessing there's a decent chance, especially with the Ravens only having four primetime games at the moment. I'm guessing there's a pretty good chance one of those games somewhere at least gets moved to 4:25, let
And you know
alone
what you
Sunday
want to
night.
do if you don't want to get flexed? Stink. Just stink. They'll keep you at one
The
o'clock,
Orioles,
right?
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Just
I mean, the
stink.
or
Yeah.
no one's going to be putting the Orioles on Sunday night baseball at this point in time. But yeah, so I think you look at it through that lens, even though they do have some challenging pockets of road games. You know, that they've got a stretch of three straight road games in the middle of the season as well, in addition to what they have at the end. You know, they have that stretch of three, what with the bye week mixed in there. No, not the bye week. Sorry, right after the bye week, they're at Miami, at Minnesota, at Cleveland, 3 weeks in a row. So you know, they've got some challenging pockets that way, but you know, their home games, if you're someone that, you know, has season tickets or likes to go to multiple games a year, you know, those 1 o'clock games, you know, if you have to work the next day, that's much more palatable than those Sunday night and Thursday night and Monday night games. So, you know, to sit here and say that I have any more sweeping conclusions about the schedule other than what we've noted, you know, I mean, you have to wait and see how it plays out. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, they're playing five out of their first six against teams that were in the playoffs last year, but you never know what's going to happen. I mean, who's going to lose their quarterback? Who's going to lose three defensive starters before the season even starts? You know, who's going to go through that where you get a team at the right time, or maybe because you're injured, you get a team at the wrong time. So we just, you know, those are the things we don't know. You know, you mentioned this a couple of days ago, and I think it's worth pointing out again, the Ravens with no London or international travel, they don't have any true West Coast games. I mean, they're only going to travel, I think, what, Kansas City, you know, Minnesota. They're only going to leave the time zone a few times this
Green Bay
season.
at the end,
Green
yep.
Bay, yeah. I mean, but you're only talking an hour there. So, I mean, they have the third fewest travel miles in the league this year. Now,
Well, they
Cincinnati.
played years where they've lived on the West Coast for a week. I mean,
Sure.
Minnesota's going to go live over in Europe for a week and play.
2 weeks,
Jacksonville
yeah.
signed up for this twice a year because they're broke and their owner really wants to move the team over there. Not having an international game is. That's first and foremost. And I guess the Ravens feel like they got penalized with that last year. It almost means you're getting a whopper next year. They'll be in Brazil or Spain or Germany or wherever it'll be because the expansion of the international part has been far more aggressive than I thought possible, Luke. And I saw it with my own eyes 8 years ago, so do you, in Wembley. I mean, it's amazing that they're playing games in Spain and Ireland and Brazil and Australia soon and
Well,
no doubt Japan. They'll play everywhere.
yeah. I think that's. I don't know if compromise is the right word to describe it, but this is the alternative to putting the Jaguars in London, which I think there's still so much pushback and so much that has to happen for that to
Oh, it'll
come to
happen in your
fruition.
lifetime, maybe not
I
mine.
mean, maybe, but it's still. I feel that's still down the road. Like, I don't think that's something that's imminent by any means. But what you can do to brand your game and market your game is to play in 10 different locales internationally over the course of a season. And that's where
But
we're heading.
taking a team that's worth $4 billion here and making it worth $25 billion tomorrow morning by sticking it in London, that's the way they do business, Luke.
Oh, I understand, but there's still logistics to that.
This
I mean,
isn't
there are
Bob
apps.
Irsay picking Indianapolis over
And I
Baltimore.
understand
This
that,
is all of them and their conglomerates and their push for cash. And
but
I mean,
there's still a lot that goes into that that is not the same as moving a team to Indianapolis. So I'm not disputing the possibility, if not likelihood, that it happens at some point in my lifetime, but I don't think that's a move that's happening in the next 5 years. In the meantime, however, we are seeing them ramp up the international games. And I think we're at a point. I mean, the Ravens played in London 2 years ago. You know, we're at a point now where I think the expectations are going to become that you're going to be playing an international game, if not every year, every other year. I mean, that's where we're heading
well,
at
they're
this point
adding
in
the
time.
extra 2 games too,
Yeah,
which gets them around the
sure.
PSLs that they promised fans
Sure,
here,
sure.
like the whole deal.
Sure. And to be clear, I mean, as long as that you try to maintain some semblance of competitive balance with that, I mean, the Vikings are obviously a fascinating case study this year where, you know, they're going to play what in Ireland, and then they're going to play in London after, I guess it's London after that. They have back-to-back international games,
If
you know,
they're
back-to-back
really
games in
smart,
Europe.
they're going to start beginning the season in the middle of August, and they're going to add 2 bye weeks because that's what they're going to get, and they're going to have an August to February schedule. I mean, I don't know if it was brought up by you. Maybe Marty Conway brought it. I think it was Marty who brought it up earlier this week that just the NFL schedule, when you consider how long football is, how long, or excuse me, how long hockey is, how long basketball is, certainly how long baseball's always been. That the off-season of football is almost problematic from for Justin Tucker, amongst others, and Ben Cleveland and those who can't drive, from February to August being off, that, there's going to come a point where they're going to the football gods will decide, get together in the middle of July, start playing in the middle of August, take a little downtime, get our 18 games in, have the bye weeks be around the international travel weeks because that's where the money is. That's where we're going to China. We'll go to Saudi Arabia. They'll be playing games in Qatar. I mean, they will be. I mean, we take airplanes for free from them. We can play World Cups in Qatar. I mean, they're the most corrupt people on earth. Everybody knows that. If you watch World Cup games, you saw that. So they'll. I mean, if Qatar puts enough money up, or the Saudis or the Chinese put enough money up, they'll be playing games in Beijing. They just will. They will. They don't care about anything but money. You know that.
I mean, the only thing I would disagree that it would be mid-August, but I think you'd see it start Labor Day weekend. And then, you know, you add an 18th game, you add another bye week. So that'll be another week of a national TV game. So there's more revenue there. And then that pushes back the schedule enough that the Super Bowl is played President's Day weekend. I mean, I think that's the long-term vision for the NFL. I mean, I don't know if they'll ever, I mean, Could you go beyond 18 games? I mean, nothing would surprise me with the NFL at this point in time, including much of what you just mentioned as far as locales that they could end up playing.
Remember that when you're
But
there on Thanksgiving night, the two games weren't enough, that they have to bring the Bengals in on Thanksgiving night too
yeah,
to have
oh
another
sure.
game.
Well, we got. I mean, if we were playing Christmas afternoon games on Wednesdays, I mean,
Well, why let Mississippi have the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night as the only game, right? Like,
sure.
yeah, why have any tradition like that?
I mean, at some point in time, I mean, I've also thought at some point, I've mentioned this to you before, that in my lifetime, I would not be surprised if we saw the NFL get to a point where the schedule staggered so much that you have a game on every night of the week. I mean, that wouldn't shock me. Maybe not every night, but let's say 5 or 6 nights a week. That wouldn't shock me. And obviously, there's legislation, long-standing legislation about playing games on Fridays and Saturdays. You know, that'll go away, and they'll do that. So, but you know, it is what it is at this point in time, and the international games are becoming more prevalent in terms of the schedule. And you know, I mean, it's football, right? I mean, the fact that, think about this. The sheer fact that you and I are getting together talking about the schedule release, as opposed to what baseball or any of the other sports, I mean, none of the other sports have anything that, in terms of their schedule release being an event whatsoever. I mean, baseball randomly puts it out on a Wednesday afternoon in August most years, right? I mean, there's no heads up, it just comes out. I mean, I think the NBA and the NHL, very similar. I don't think there's ever, certainly never, a 3-hour announcement and all this breadcrumbing. I mean, the Ravens put out a video for, you know, a severance theme, you know, the Apple TV show, which, my apologies, I've been watching Ted Lasso. I haven't seen Severance, so I didn't get any of the references there. But, you know, these teams with their social media and everything have made this schedule thing such
Well,
an
they're
event. I
bored,
mean,
dude. There's 6 months where they don't play, 8 months
sure.
where they don't play, right?
But
So that's my
still get
point
the
of
engagement.
stretching it out, you
But they
know?
still get the engagement, though.
Sure.
I mean, and they can only stretch it out so much. I mean, even the NFL recognizes, you know, you're not going to be able to get, there's no timeline to turn football into a 30 game season. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to go to that extreme. You know, but we're going to go to 18 at some point here in the next few years. I think that's inevitable. And we'll see how
And that
the
buys them more
logistics.
international games, just to be
Sure,
clear.
more international games, another week of internet or national television package. Actually, 2 more weeks, because with an 18-game schedule, they'll add a second bye week. That'll be the carrot that they throw to the NFLPA. So, you know, they'll revamp the schedule, and everyone will watch. I mean, we've talked about this. You know, we've talked about Thursday night football and all the things that we say are, oh, they do this, they do that. Everyone's going to watch. I've complained about games being on Christmas. I'm glad the Ravens aren't playing on Christmas for a third straight year. Will I have the games on in the background at the very least? Will I be watching it carefully? No. Will they be on in the background? Sure. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that they won't be. But I mean, that's the NFL has trained its audience, which is vast. It's expansive. You know, it's becoming more and more international, more global because of the footprint that they're trying to make in other countries, that you'll eat it up, right? I mean, go look at the numbers for the third day of the draft, Nestor. Go look at the ratings that they get for the third day of the draft and compare that to all the other sports. I mean, it's mind-boggling. The
That's
average
the day
fan.
I really sit and watch it, because that's the day like it all starts to sink in a little bit, you
But
know? That's the day you get real analysis from analysts.
understood. But how many of those players do you actually know? Very
Oh,
few.
right.
I mean, like,
But
for
they
every.
turned it into an all-day television bazaar going place to place, and they actually have the general managers and the coaches come on,
Sure.
and the players and the families, and there's
Well,
the,
they
well,
market
this
themselves
year there
very
was
well.
Shedeur Sanders. That's why that happened
Oh,
this
no
year.
question. I mean, they market, say what you want about the downside of what the NFL is. And, you know, we've talked about that with Justin Tucker, the investigations, all the different things that
Of
you
what they
talked
can get
about,
away with is what we're
what they can
talking
get
about.
away.
Yes. Yeah.
But give them credit on, I mean, they market the heck out of themselves, and they do it really well. And they get the people thinking that even though you knew the Ravens 17 games, like their 17 opponents that they were going to play, we knew that from the day the regular season ended. I mean, that hasn't been in question since January. Most of the games, other than what, 3 games on the schedule, have been set for years. You know, so all we're getting are dates, times, and networks. I mean, that's literally all we got on Wednesday night. And people ate it up. And that's all everyone was talking about.
It fell right into my Google calendar at the Pat
Yeah,
Benatar concert. I thought it was great. I looked down, I'm like, oh, there it is.
But I mean, this is people are planning their falls. They're planning their winters. I mean, planning their road trips. I think I said to you a couple days ago, I mean, I have a family member getting married in Charlotte, North Carolina, week four, that Saturday, with the Ravens playing the Chiefs late afternoon that Sunday. I'm weighing whether I'm going to go and take a early morning flight home to watch the game or figure it out, or I may not go. But the point is, I now at least know what I'm dealing with that week. And that's how everyone, I mean, football fans, I don't say this with any disrespect to anything else that goes on in the fall. I mean, you're talking to someone who's a believer who goes to church every Sunday that I'm not covering an NFL game. But this is how people plan their falls. I mean, they're planning their lives around a lot of these games in many cases. So, that's just reality. It's not a commentary on anyone or whether they should or not. It's just the truth. So, I mean, it is amazing when you step back and you kind of think about that for a moment, but it's nice to have the context. It's nice to know now every conversation you and I have now about the Ravens between now and September, September 7th when they open the season in Buffalo, we will be making a reference to between now and week one in Buffalo, right? I mean, we'll be making that reference of opening the season against the Bills. Just like last year, it was opening the season in Kansas City. We talked about that in just about every single conversation that would be mentioned in passing. So it's nice to have the context. It's nice to finally know when you're going to be playing these teams. And in a case like the Ravens, where be remiss if I didn't mention, they signed Derrick Henry on the same day that they put out the schedule. No shortage of enthusiasm, especially on the heels of what the Orioles are at the moment. The Ravens very much have the full-throated enthusiasm of the crowd, even in mid-May, and that's more a knock on the Orioles than a compliment to the Ravens, even.
Luke Jones is here. You can follow him at Baltimore Luke. You can follow us at Baltimore Positive as we get our crab cake tour out and running through. It's Preakness week. We got all sorts of things. The Orioles are in the stinker. Tons of Preakness coverage in future Triple Crown. And I talked some sports business with Marty Conway this week. Bodie Miller came on this week, Olympic skier, part of the show. We've talked a lot about our Darius Washington. How dare I talk football during the schedule show here, Luke? But let me just throw this out at you. Because I in the past I've done hours on this schedule, right? Like all day taking phone calls and where are we going and are we doing a road trip to May? Hey, Nasty's Minnesota, good road trip. Yes, it's nice there. It's balmy in November. What about Miami on Thursday night? Don't go. Lamar won't be ready to play. It's a Thursday night game. So, I tell people what to do, what not. Kansas City, go get the barbecue. Don't expect them to win. That's late September. The questions for me, and I brought this up at the outset, was three out of four on the road at the end, right? At Cincinnati, the Patriots, we talked about whether they're going to be any good or not in Vrabel. At Green Bay, at Pittsburgh. Part of the season for me is, I believe the Ravens are good, right? I mean, you believe the Ravens are good, right? We believe they're an elite team, a top five in the conference kind of team, a playoff team, whatever you want to say about them. If Lamar is healthy and Derrick Henry, and we haven't talked about his money, and that WNST text you sent out brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. But Steelers. When the Steelers are stacked into these games in December and January, and they're two of the last five games you play, and the Bengals are two of the last six games you play. And I know that they're waiting things now. And you talked about Joe Flacco in Cleveland and whoever, Shedeur Sanders. We already brought him up, right? We know the Jets are going to stink. We get them before Thanksgiving. But the Bengals and the Steelers and how they are and how the Ravens are and what physical position, in a week when we lose our Darius Washington, which of these players on the roster that are key players? Kyle Hamilton, Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Ronnie Stanley, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, likely Andrews is called the tight end position, the pass rush. How Nate Wiggins is looking as a first round pick, how Malachi Starks is looking as a first round pick. and whether they're on the field or not, and what version of them we're getting, or whether we're going to get to Cincinnati and Joe Burrow is going to hurt again, and he's not going to be able to play, or Lamar's hurt again and can't play because, you know, he won't get sacked in the pocket because we all know you and I have that injury argument about him running around a lot, and I think he's been much better about running around and when to run and when not to. It helps having Derrick Henry as predicted here for a few years, but Pittsburgh specifically at the end, and Cincinnati even more specifically because I think they're better. They're a better team, even though they've suffered some attrition here in the offseason, and they've got their one of the not their star player, their third or fourth star player doing a 25-minute soliloquy on two middle fingers to the organization in May, trying to get more money. Cincinnati's got turmoil. Pittsburgh doesn't have a quarterback, and meanwhile, we got a kicker in disgrace. We have our own issues here and questions that we all have for upper management and leadership in Owings Mills. But my football question is Bengals and Steelers and who they are and what that is and where the Ravens' health will be, because I believe the Ravens are good. I believe the Orioles were good. Shows you how little I know. But I would say that Thanksgiving time, when you're at the game, getting ready to eat your turducken and your chicken thing, your Jacoby Jones chicken thing and all that, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, New England, at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh. That's bad. Two in a row on the road in the cold. Oh boy. You know, with Lamar, you know, to me, that's six in a row on the road. Because if you go on the road, you start losing. But this is a Cleveland stinks. I love you, Joe. Cleveland stinks. I think Pittsburgh stinks, but I've been thinking that for 20 years, and Tomlin always proves me wrong. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers should or will be their quarterback, or if I were Pittsburgh, I'd even want him, you know. But that shows you how that desperate times call for desperate measures. Orioles are so desperate to sell tickets, they might call me. I would just say with the Steelers and the Bengals, how they are is going to really define what I think of this schedule and where they are and what finds them in December. Because you might find a really, really messy Bengals because they're a messy organization, or you might find a 12-3 powerhouse. I mean, you may find trouble because they have a quarterback who's a dude to me. I mean, they have a top five dude. Joe Burrow should and could and will win a Super Bowl. Maybe not in Cincinnati. Maybe he's the Matt Stafford guy that has to escape. But it's not Buffalo in week one or Detroit in week three. They both bother me. They both, you know, they're both losable games, winnable games, I guess. They have to defend Lamar too, and then stop and tackle Derrick Henry and do all those things we talk about. But the division games at the end and the load on it and the two in a row at the end does make me want to talk about the schedule a little bit more than as a punchline like we have the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, anytime you're going to play your two anticipated biggest threats to winning the division in the final 6 weeks, you're going to play those teams four times. I mean, you're going to play Thanksgiving against Cincinnati, the following Sunday home against Pittsburgh, and then you go to Cincinnati on December 14th. And then, of course, as we mentioned, you go to Pittsburgh for week 18, and we just know how
Lamar
Ravens.
turns an ankle against the Jets and can't play for 3 weeks. That's
Sure.
trouble. That's I mean,
But
they have a better backup quarterback now. Like,
right,
I'll hear
right.
all of that, but that would be a really bad time for Roquan Smith to not be, you know what I mean? Or
It
something
is.
like that, you
It is.
know?
But that's, you know, that's kind of the
That's
story.
football.
That's any team,
Yeah.
right? But yeah, I think specifically talking about the Bengals, I mean, what's going to happen with Trey Hendrickson? I mean, they got Ja'Marr Chase done. They got T. Higgins done. They've thrown that much money at their wide receivers. I mean, their passing game is going to be great. I mean, it typically is when Joe Burrow is healthy. But is their defense going to be any better? I mean, even if they figure things out and work something out with Trey Hendrickson, that he stays and they're not trading him, or he's not holding out and sitting out the season or anything crazy, is that defense going to be any better? You know, I mean, I know they fired their defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, and you know, he was the fall guy. Look at how much talent they hemorrhaged on that side of the ball over the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, look, I know you love your wide receivers, and don't get me wrong, Chase and Higgins are special players, but you got to be able to stop somebody on the defensive side, and they weren't able to do that last year. I mean, it's why they lost two games against the Ravens rather than won two games against the Ravens, because their defense was just awful. So, you know, and look at what that meant in terms of them not making the playoffs compared to the Ravens winning the division. So you have that. So I mean, that's my big question about Cincinnati. I mean, the 30,000 foot look at the Bengals. Can you start the season better? I mean, that's been their downfall for going back the last 3 or 4 years now. They get off to such a bad start. And we know the Ravens started slow this past year, but not like the Bengals start, right? Not like they start where you're looking up and they're 1-3, they're 1-4, where you've got so much work to do just to get to the point where you're not taking on water anymore. So that's my big question with them. With Pittsburgh, look, will the Steelers end up being better than you think? Probably, because that's Mike Tomlin. However, the other reality of Mike Tomlin is they haven't been very good in terms of really truly being a team to really be reckon with, and a team that you actually think can do something other than make the wild card round and then get bounced promptly. They haven't been that team in almost 10 years. I mean, go back to the end of the Roethlisberger era, even when Ben was still playing. From about 2017 on, 2018 on, I mean, even if they do make the playoffs, they're not going anywhere. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game in how many years now? Go back to what, 2016, I guess it is, off the top of my head. So is Aaron Rodgers going to change that? I don't think so. I mean, I assume he's going to play for them. I think
Oh, you do. Okay, you think
yeah,
that's okay.
I don't think the league would. I don't think the league necessarily sets up the schedule to have them open the season against the Jets, otherwise. And, maybe not. I mean, maybe they don't think he's going to play. And it's this. And to be clear, if he doesn't play, then they will stink because, I mean, what, Mason Rudolph? I mean, what are they going to do at quarterback? Rodgers is, I guess, the only other option that could be out there. I mean, is there a play to acquire Kirk Cousins? Maybe. I mean, Kirk Cousins is still a Falcon at the moment, but he's not their starting quarterback anymore. So are the Falcons really just going to let Kirk Cousins be on their roster, making the money that he's making? I mean,
Kirk Cousins would make the Steelers credible.
oh,
No
sure.
question about
Kirk
that.
Cousins would make a lot of teams credible. Now, is he making them a team that
Could
you
he
think
beat
is?
the Ravens 2 out of 3 times at the end of the year? Maybe. Maybe. I give him more of a
I mean,
chance than I give Aaron Rodgers in week 15.
I mean, I
That's
don't know if I.
me.
I don't know if I give him more of a chance. I mean, I kind of view those guys in a similar light at this point in time. I mean, they're not awful quarterbacks, but they're not guys that are winning you games in January at this stage. I mean, Kirk Cousins has never won games in January. And in fairness, he hasn't necessarily been on a lot of great teams or anything.
I think he gives you a
But
chance to win a game in October or November better than Mason Rudolph. How about that? When we're splitting hairs here,
I
sure.
wholeheartedly agree with. That's why I said, I mean, if it's not Rodgers. And they're going to go with what they have. I mean, they'll stink. And when I say they'll stink, it doesn't mean they'll go 3-14. But this would be the year Mike Tomlin's streak of losing seasons would end. If you're going that route with your quarterback position, I think. Then again, they have DK Metcalf now. They got rid of George Pickens. They still do have a very formidable defense. So I'm not going to write them off that they're 2-15 or anything crazy bad, but. But for me, I look at this division. The Ravens, to me, have earned the right to be the clear-cut favorite. I mean, they just have. Assuming Lamar Jackson's healthy, they've been that team. The Bengals, I got to see about their defense. I mean, I really do. And especially considering their best defensive player right now, to your point, just had a 20-minute media session taking the organization to task for a contract dispute and all that. I mean, that doesn't feel too good when you're already talking about a defense that was bad even with Trey Hendrickson last year. So, yeah, Burrow and Chase and Higgins, I mean, that's great. I mean, that's absolutely great. Guess what? That was great last year, and they still didn't make the playoffs. So, they're a clear second, and Pittsburgh, I certainly can't put Pittsburgh with Cincinnati. Until I at least see what the quarterback position is going to look like, and then we can have a little bit of a different discussion. But and then Cleveland's at the bottom. To your point, love Joe Flacco. It's going to be if he is making the start week two, it's going to be surreal. I mean, I know they went up to the Meadowlands 3 years ago, and Joe started for the Jets, and the Ravens beat them handily. But it'll be a little bit different if Joe Flacco's starting a game in Baltimore for the opposing side. But that said. As much as you acknowledge that, he's 40 years old and that team is bad. So, what's that going to mean, especially the Ravens playing their home opener that day. So it's the Ravens and then Cincinnati and Pittsburgh after that, and Cleveland very much bringing up the rear as they have for most of the last 25 years.
By the
So
way,
we'll
at
see.
Minnesota and Miami in the middle of this back to back there, night game at Miami, short rest Thursday night, and then at Minnesota. This is a tough schedule, dude. At Kansas City, at Buffalo. I mean,
It is.
these are games where they're going to be underdog. They're going to be underdogs in five or six games this year, and that's down from two or three. They're going to be underdog in Buffalo, be an underdog in Kansas City.
I don't know if I'd say five. I mean, there might be a few more, but you got to remember how rare it is that they've been an underdog when Lamar's been healthy over the last few years. I mean, it's very rare. But
I think the
I hear your
Detroit game,
point.
they'll be a favorite. So maybe it's not five. Maybe it's four. Maybe it's
Yeah.
three. At the end,
They'll be
Green
a
Bay and
favorite in
Pittsburgh.
Miami. They'll be a favorite in Miami.
Fair enough.
At Minnesota, I mean, who
Depends
knows?
what
I
you
mean,
find, right?
J.J. McCarthy, I think the Vikings are one of the most interesting teams in the league. I mean, I think very highly of their coaching staff. They had this fantastic season last year, but Darnold's gone and they're handing the reins to J.J. McCarthy, and understandably so. But what are they going to be? I think Miami's going nowhere fast. I think Miami, whatever window they had, which it wasn't open very wide, obviously, I think they're on the downside now, and I think you're going to see that regime closer to being fired than a team that that a team that you think is going to make noise. But it's a Thursday night road game, and hey, as I even noted it in my initial reaction to the schedule, that game will conjure some memories of that dumpster fire that they played in Miami on a Thursday night, what, 4 years ago? So where. I remember that was the infamous zero blitz game where the Ravens offense and Lamar had no answers
That
for it.
was the infamous game where I got my press pass taken away 4 days before when I asked John Harbaugh if running the ball 23 times in a game, he's got to play his quarterback 4 days later. And then the quarterback was never the same after that. So, I remember that week pretty vividly after the Minnesota game. It was a Minnesota Miami flipping that, and that one was Minnesota then Miami.
Is that Minnesota game? That was that an overtime game?
It
It
was.
was either overtime or I know they played like. I mean, their offense played like 90 snaps or something crazy. But yeah, that stretch. I mean, you look at those three games. I mean, at Miami Thursday, short game, short week. Again, I'm not a big believer in the Dolphins. I think they're on the decline big time at this point. But we'll see. At Minnesota, that's a challenge. There's no question about that. I mean, that's a challenging game. Even if the Ravens are favored, it's like, oh, like it's a pick 'em. Minus one kind of scenario, right? I mean, I don't think it's much more than that unless McCarthy is just terrible for them. And then, I will say this, as much as we throw dirt on the Browns, and the Browns stink. Don't get me wrong, they stink. The Ravens haven't swept the season series since 2020. So, and we saw what happened against Jameis Winston last year in Cleveland. So
Dude,
you
Joe
certainly.
Flacco comes in here and beats them, and they're 0-2 because they lost in Buffalo by a field goal that Tyler Lue missed. I just remember it was a bad start last year, and I know
Yeah.
John and the coaching staff for the next 4 months. It's we got to wake up 1-0 on. We have to beat Buffalo.
They
We
got to
have to
start
beat
fast.
Buffalo. We have to beat Buffalo, right?
You
Like
have to start
can't be
fast.
0-1. Joe Flacco, then Detroit, then and then you get nicks and cuts and candies and butts, and you're injured, and you got because that's all going to happen too.
I mean, just think about and I mean, they were 0-2 last year. They beat the pants off Buffalo in week four. But that 0-2 start was the difference of that game being played in Western New York as opposed to Baltimore last January. Now, doesn't mean that the Ravens definitely would have won, but you'd rather be at home than playing in Western New York in the conditions. It wouldn't have been pleasant in Baltimore either, but it wouldn't have been that. So, that's why you have to start fast. I mean, you certainly don't want to be in a position where you're 3-3 over the first six games of the season. And not that the season's over by any stretch of the imagination, but by then you're starting to wonder, can you get the number one seed? Can you get the number two seed? Where's Cincinnati in relation to that? So, they have to start fast, but a big part of that is going to be starting healthy. I think they've got to now with the Ardarius Washington injury, they got to make sure they're on their P's and Q's on the back end of the defense. They can't start with pass defense wise the way they did last year, or they will be in some really tough games here or early in the season. But all of that being said, I have very high expectations for this team. They continue to be one of the four or five best teams in football and have been whenever Lamar Jackson is healthy and upright, they have been that team from the time that he took over, basically. I fully expect that again. And now it's just a matter of got to navigate it. And then if you navigate it, you got to win in January. I mean, it's, we could, even if they beat Buffalo, even if they go to Kansas City in week four and win, what's that going to prove? You'll feel more confident. You'd rather win than lose. But is that really going to prove anything? Is that going to really say, okay, this is the year they're going to get over the hump in January? No, it's not going to prove anything. But you want to win the games. You have to qualify. You have to get to January before you can win in January. So from that standpoint, yeah, they've got to start fast. Those first six games are definitely going to be challenging. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention they've got a week seven bye. They don't have a late season bye. The last couple of years they've had some late season byes, but I would also challenge and say, hey, the fact that you're playing five of your first six against playoff teams from a year ago, that bye might actually be so that they might want that bye at that point in time. And again,
Well, I
it's
hope
all.
this inspires the Orioles. I mean, they don't play a game between October 12th and October 26th. We should be so lucky to think the Orioles will be playing games on my birthday, or your birthday for that
You
matter.
you're gonna take that bet? I'm not. I mean,
Be you.
it's like I said about a week ago. I said, you know what my biggest positive on the state of the Orioles is right now? The Ravens schedule comes out next week. That's what I said at the
Well, it is
time, so.
amazing, though, because the bye week would have fallen right in the middle of the playoffs, right? I mean, October 19th is the bye week. That's an unusual bye. I mean, my birthday's been October 14th all my life. There haven't been a whole lot of bye weeks around my birthday, quite frankly, early to mid-October. They're usually later. They've even had a couple of weird early bye weeks. One year they lost the bye because of the Houston
Oh yeah,
storm and
right.
all that. Yeah,
That was Harbaugh's first year, actually.
They had some weird stuff going on at various points. Luke Jones is here. His weird, wild stuff. The NFL schedule is out. The Preakness is here. The Orioles stink. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the 28th at Fadley's. I'll have the scratch offs from the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Back to the Future. This has been a lucky batch thus far. On the 5th of June, we will return to Greenmount Station in Hampstead, where I love that crab cake up there. I might even get a few games in and bowl a little bit next door at the Greenmount Bowl. I really a big weekend for Baltimore with Preakness and the national eyes being here, all the big trainers being here, but not the Kentucky Derby winner this week, and Oriole baseball this weekend as well. Luke and I will reconvene through the weekend. I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, doing the Maryland Party. You can Google it, themarylandparty.com. You'll see what it is. That's 2,000 business leaders, executives, politicians, thought leaders, educators, all kind of getting together in Las Vegas and making Maryland better, believe it or not. So we'll be talking about that all next week around here, which is a lot better talking about baseball. And the Ravens have the week off. It's one more week where the Justin Tucker thing will go away and no one will ask about him. And Tyler Loop, I mean, Justin Tucker's not our kicker anymore. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Lots of great, great stuff. Luke and I have been at it. I've been at it with Marty Conway. I've been at it with a whole bunch of leaders and civic leaders, as well as baseball and football. Good stuff up at Baltimore Positive through the Preak this weekend. I hope you go grab it.